You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right, like that dude just said, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Going to go right now to spend some time talking to somebody who I've really grown to appreciate over the years, Congressman Barry Moore. Serves the state of Alabama from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District down yonder in the Wiregrass regions of our state. I previously met him. We both served in the Alabama legislature together, he in the House representing House District 91 and me up in the state Senate. Just a good guy, one of the more conservative members of Congress, and certainly within our Alabama delegation. So with that said, let me just welcome Congressman Barry Moore to Right Side Radio. Congressman, how you doing today?
Doing good, Phil. It's been an interesting day for sure.
Oh, it has. And I tell you what, let's just go ahead and lead off with that. You may have by now been able to see the president's comments from his press conference today. Just give me your thoughts as a member of Congress of what you see happening right now and where it's going.
Well, I hadn't had a chance to actually hear what the president said, but we kind of saw this coming, right? I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the left media in the country, you know, they made comments that Donald Trump was going to see the stock market crash and we were going to see a war in Europe or he was going to start World War III. Well, it's almost like Trump is president if you're listening to the left media, but we kind of saw this leadership vacuum, obviously. I mean, day one, they stopped the border wall. And then, of course, wasn't just a few days after they shut down our energy independence and the Keystone Pipeline, and that just emboldened Putin. That's when in November they started moving troops, and as of today, we see the result of weak leadership on the global, on the global scale, if you will.
But we absolutely do, and I am not looking at all for U.S. boots on the ground in Ukraine. I don't think that's what we need to be doing. But the other discussion of this, though, is, but what do you do? Because you can't just have one nation decide it wants another nation's stuff and just roll in with its armies and take it. And so the sanctions that the Biden administration has levied thus far have been somewhat tepid and really haven't done much to deter Putin. What does Congress say? I mean, when you talk to folks just in general, like anecdotally or just around the halls of Congress, what's the mood right now?
Well, I think many agree with you that we may not need troops or boots on the ground, but there's a lot of things, not just the financial sector sanctions, but energy sanctions. If Biden would have come out today and said, hey, we're opening our Keystone Pipeline, we're going to start producing energy, we're going to give Europe an alternative to energy, and we're going to push back, and we're going to, because Russia, a third of their profits, their income is gas production. And so there's a way to shut the faucet off and start offering an alternative source. And the United States, he could have led today with that. American people would have felt much better, and it would have been something of that had some teeth in it. A lot of these sanctions we're seeing right now are weak, and we talked about it with my staff earlier today. When there's a failure of leadership in the nations and around the globe, you'll see a vacuum, and that's kind of what Putin's trying to fill that. And obviously, with China now rattling sabers into Taiwan, that surprises me how quick they moved. But we knew that Russia was coming at some point to Ukraine. I was over there this August, and even my visit in the embassy and talking to the leadership and the parliament in Kiev, that they were concerned, and the pipeline was a huge issue. And so it's just kind of given Russia and some of our global enemies a little bit of a, if you will, just kind of emboldened them. And so we've got weak leadership in the White House, and I think most of Congress agrees we've got to come with tougher sanctions, and we need to do it as soon as possible.
Well, so you make a point, and I hadn't quite gotten fully into this point on my show yet, but this is a great moment to do it. So when Biden first came into office, the very first thing he did was kill the Keystone Pipeline and put a moratorium on oil and gas exploration, which impacted Alabama in a big way because we have a ton of oil and gas exploration off our Gulf Coast. And then at the same time, he soon thereafter approved the Nord Stream 2 pipeline for Putin to run pipes under the Black Sea to Germany, which he only this week turned off. I mean, basically, he approved their pipeline and killed ours. I don't get it. But then on top of that, are we going to see Congress take action if y'all flip the House and Senate to try and restore our oil and gas issues and put us back into an energy independent state?
I think we have no choice in it. You know, I've mentioned this to Leader McCarthy. We are deep in our own territory right now, and we take the majority. We can't take a knee. We've got to move this country back to leading in energy exports and energy independence and all that. Just move it back to more conservative ideology going forward, a love for the nation, secure borders, energy independence, any of those things that we can do. We cannot take a knee, and I expect us to see that with the red wave that's coming. Many of my classmates were kind of populist candidates, Phil. We kind of were the outsiders that came, and a lot of us on the coattail of President Trump when he was running, but we weren't the establishment. And so many of us joined the House Freedom Caucus. Many of us bring conservative ideas, and we're truly populist candidates. And so I think that you'll see more of that continuation in this next election, and I think it's imperative that we don't take a knee and we push leadership to move this thing back. And like I said, you know, we need to make America great again. We've kind of put that on the back burner and done everything we can, I think, through Biden's leadership and Pelosi's leadership to weaken our country on the global scale. And it's time we take the leadership back. And I think in energy independence is one way to do it. Securing the borders another way. There's a number of things we can do, but we cannot take a knee. That's for sure.
Well, that's exactly right. But speaking of taking a knee, let me shift gears on you a little bit. So coming up, I think next week is State of the Union address. And I'm hearing that they are still taking a knee at the White House and with Pelosi to the basically the COVID cult and requiring that no more than 25 members of each party can attend and putting all kinds of draconian restrictions on you guys as members of Congress. What in the world? Is that what I'm hearing? Is that correct about the way they're running the State of the Union this year?
Yeah, so I was told I'd have to get a COVID test and wear an N95 mask, which the ones Nancy bought are actually made in China. How ironic is that, right? And so told them, no, thank you. I wouldn't be attending this year. And the plan also, I think we need to, as Republicans, when we take the majorities, we need to open the people's house back up, let the public come back in and see what we're doing, because it's kind of odd to me if you stand in the dome there between the House floor and the Senate. When you cross that midway point, COVID goes away because the Democrats are running the Senate. They don't have to wear a mask. They don't have to go through metal detectors. This is just Pelosi continuing to double down on tyranny and her, you know, it's just control with her. She's a control freak, and she tries to control the process, and this is just another way of her trying to flex leadership. But, you know, we see the American people are waking up. We saw it in Virginia. We see it across the country. They're going, tired of this failed leadership, tired of this tyrannical leadership. We're going to give the voice back to the people. So come midterms, we'll make sure we do that. We open the house and invite the American people back to the people's house. But, yeah, right now, Phil, you got a test. You got to have an N95 mask. It's just a bunch of craziness. But I told them, no, thank you. You can give my seat to somebody else.
Oh, good on you. And I hope that every Republican who goes, I would love to see an organized effort where at a given moment they all take their masks off while they're sitting in the chamber. I think that would be huge. I think the American people would do a GoFundMe site and fund the penalties that they're going to be fined by Speaker Pelosi. But hey, before I lose you, I got a couple more minutes left. And let me just say this. I was on the air a little while ago talking to a couple other guys, Dale Jackson and Jeff Poor. We do a joint thing together on Thursdays. And I made the point that I'm a little curious about how Jeff Coleman didn't know he was going to run before the regular qualifying time, but then decided before the new qualifying time that he was going to run. And now he's running, even though he's not technically qualified. So I know the only two ways to really run a race are scared and unopposed. And technically you're unopposed, but you're not. So what's going on down there?
Yeah. So technically I'm unopposed, but let me say I'm not scared. We think when the people in the second congressional district hired us to do this job, we are doing the job we were hired to do. And we've served nearly 900 veterans cases on the VA already through Social Security and VA and just a number of things. So we've been doing the job that people have elected us to do. And you can go on and see Conservative Review. They score us as a 100 on conservative policies protecting your liberty. And so it's my job to do that job, and I'm going to continue to do that. We'll let the chips fall where they may with the other camp. But, the Democrat lawsuit kind of mixed things up for us for a little bit. But we're going to run like we're just doing the job and continue to do the job, and I think we'll be perfectly fine.
Well, I suspect you will, too. And I can just see the campaign ad that says, is he going to run or ain't he? He doesn't even know. I see that as being the campaign ad, Congressman. But, hey, listen, we certainly appreciate you, the work that you're doing, the fact that you're part of the Freedom Caucus, and that you are standing strong for things that we believe in D.C. So thanks for being on the air with us today.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for your conservative voice and leadership in this state. I've always had a great deal of respect. And thank you for having me on my show, on your show. And if you will, man, keep me in your prayers and ask your listeners to do the same.
We'll do it. We'll do it. You have a great day. Thanks so much, Congressman.
All right. Thanks, sir.
All right, folks, that was Congressman Barry Moore from Alabama's 2nd Congressional District. He is literally one of the more conservative members of Congress as a whole, a member of the House Freedom Caucus. He's one of those who is not afraid to step up and gets pretty much 100% rating on his votes on conservative policy issues. And you heard it. I mean, he even told Speaker Pelosi, no, I won't be attending the State of the Union this year. And that's a major event. That's not only ceremonial, that's also an opportunity just to be a part of the processes. And if Speaker Pelosi is going to keep doing the things she's doing like this, I guarantee you he's not the only one rejecting the opportunity to even sit there and listen to it. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We're going to head on in right now. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We got a whole lot of stuff that we haven't even had a chance to touch on yet, but that's okay. And tomorrow, if all goes as planned, I'll be broadcasting live from Montgomery. Should be an interesting day down there. I'm speaking to the Alabama Press Association and then jumping right on the air from the location where we're having that event. Going to be good. Phil Williams. We'll be right back.